Hey, Marcus.
We're all here?
Ready to do this. Okay. Hello, we'll call. Are we all ready? Buttons are all pushed and recording and rolling. Great. I'm trying to say anything too embarrassing. And we'll have a roll call, please.
Councilmember Matthews?
Here.
Citizen member Dexter?
Here.
And Councilmember Termini?
Here. Approval of the agenda for today? Additions, deletions?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous. Approval of the minutes for February 24th. Corrections?
My only question is are the co-chair or the vice chair?
Oh, right.
Oh.
Page 3.
I missed that? Vice chair. Oh, it's vice chair. Yeah. It should be vice chair.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Are you impressed? I read them.
Are you impressed? I read them too and didn't catch it.
I'm very impressed.
Okay, with that correction, your
second.
Oh. All in favor?
Aye.
It is unanimous. We'll go on to oral communications. Seeing none from the public, so someone from the public here. Any committee members have anything? Then we'll move on to staff reports. Monthly financial report.
Your March report is trailing very much like most of the months have done so far this year. The bottom end result of $98,000 to the good. We're getting closer to break-even point. Year-to-date, we're at $62,000 short. We've still that gap in place. We expect to finish the year in a surplus position with April and May and June results bringing us into that surplus position. I think we're still on track. We had projected somewhere near $120,000 surplus somewhere around December, January, right around the mid-year point. I think we're still in that same order of magnitude targeting the surplus. Sales tax continues to perform better than our expectations. On the whole, revenue's up 2.2%, sales tax 4.5% ahead of budget. That's a very common theme throughout any jurisdictional sales tax fees. Even agencies and down south, my own hometown, Watsonville, are seeing some sizable gains. If there continues to be more credibility into the sales tax, it's coming back strong and it looks like it's more in recovery, not a temporary spike.
Uh-huh. And because the drought actually helped in terms of tourism.
Absolutely.
At this end of the county, for sure.
We actually haven't seen those receipts yet, though, because they don't start coming. It lags one quarter
well,
behind.
Well, that's what I just, the public's not here. I can ask a few more questions. So the January sales tax was lower than February and March, but is that because it's not really December? It's averaged over.
Yeah.
Some period.
There's a lag.
Yeah.
There's a lag from the state.
Yeah.
When we get it, and then every 3 months they do a true up. I think January is probably the true up month where they advance this. And every monthly allocation, there's a portion of an advance that they estimate that we're going to receive, and then that third month they true up and they look at the past
actuals
from a quarter ago,
right?
And see how we did. Did they give us too much, or did they hold back? And so sometimes we gain or lose in those true up months.
Marcus, I have a question, and that is. And it's basically my own accounting ignorance, and it always gets me into the debit and credit problem.
Sure.
And that is, if I look at the line in expenditures, payroll, and payroll is slightly more than 75%, which means we expended a little more than we should have, almost 2%. And yet it shows as a minus. And then we come down to building a facility where we've spent barely half, even though we're 3/4 of the way through, and it looks as though we're 27% higher than we should be. But I'm thinking about it backwards, aren't I?
Mm-hmm. It's money in the bank as opposed to...
From a fiscal
perspective... The positive number is better in percentage in expenditure.
From a fiscal perspective, it means we're preserving cash flow.
In other words, the positive numbers would lead you to believe that you're over by a certain percentage, but actually that means we're underspent by that amount.
Correct.
Good.
And we are spending.
I'm thinking backwards correctly.
Mm-hmm. You are, and we've had this conversation a few times.
I know.
But a different, also with a different perspective of, being under budget may not be a good thing because you want to spend that money to conduct your operations.
Right. Certainly,
so
certainly.
We've also had an intellectual conversation of, well, should that be a negative? Shown as a negative because really we should be spending that.
And only because it's exactly the opposite as the revenue column.
Yes.
And that brings me to my next question, which is the books with grants, the amount we spend. Okay. More than 75%, which is a good thing in my mind.
Yeah.
But did we use the grant funds to show in our revenue? Because if we're using the grant funds to show in our expenditure, shouldn't we also show it up above as well?
They're in other revenue.
Yeah.
That's part of other revenue.
Yes.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. Good.
That's books, comma, with grants, not just grant-funded book purchases.
Got it.
And you do want, at this point in the year, you want to be over-expended in the materials budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No doubt. Yes.
Yeah. It stops coming. We'll stop ordering. We stopped, and this year we had to stop ordering earlier because of the transition to Polaris.
Right.
They did some test orders this week, and it's working. It did not take a year and a half like it did on
Evergreen
to get it working. It took a week, and so they're starting to be able to do orders again, I think, this week. So we'll order again for a few weeks, but then we'll have to stop because we have to give it time to come in. So
and there's a point we'll see an over-budget expenditure at some point as as that balance.
Well, the
if
end
we
of the
spend,
year,
if we spend time, if we spend time under-ordering, I hope that we'll spend time.
Well, we hope we did. This reflects us being over some.
Okay. So this is that.
Mm-hmm. This is
that correction.
Yes.
Okay.
So they've got.
And that happened in the month of March, I take it.
Yeah.
So in that books line, we see year-to-date actual is 82.4%. Mm-hmm. They got 18% left of their budget to spend.
And you'll see that in, you don't see much happen in April because
that was when
we stopped ordering in March. So they stopped getting things in. So now they're going to have to catch up here real quick.
And that leads to my next question, which is when we did the budget of 1.213 for books and materials,
mm-hmm.
did we factor in the grants?
Yes.
And if
yes.
We did?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And I have another question that's not really so much a budget question because some amount of money, not much, but it's janitorial. I remember, and I think it was before your time even, we changed the whole way janitorial services were done and contracted out, and there's a great deal of angst around that. I'm just curious, the dollar amount's not great, but just are we satisfied with the service?
I'll let Kira answer that. I think we're satisfied, but it's a constant maintenance of the third party.
Following up.
They're here after hours, the staff don't see them, so
mm-hmm.
if there's no exchange of checklists or checking in with staff about maybe there's a special need. You know, there was a spill that day or there was a project, craft project, so just constant management, which I think takes a lot of time.
That seems manageable.
It can be, depending on how often the checklists go unresolved.
We have a different contractor, too, and this is now the second contractor since I've been here.
Uh-huh.
When the city goes to bid on that, we're part of the city's bid, and it's low bid, and we had to change contractors
mm-hmm.
about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, I don't know if that was better or worse than.
They've always been about the same. Just a lot of maintenance on our end, just checking in with them, and nothing. It's nothing out of the ordinary.
Okay.
I think a lot of times we relate it to when we had in-house custodians, and we could check in a lot easier in email and.
As I recall, it was a cost-saving issue,
mm-hmm.
significant at the time the change was made. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if it's not grievous, then.
It's probably no more than having to supervise individuals directly.
Okay.
That were costing us more.
Yeah.
Or
maybe
you'd have to have somebody
actually
supervising.
Okay. That's enough information. I just thought I'd check in.
Thank you. Anything else?
Just guess close with back to those. Debits and credits, parentheses. So
yes, thank
revenues
you.
2.2%. We're receiving more cash
uh-huh.
than anticipated, and expenditures, you know, almost perfectly on target.
Yeah.
0.1%.
0.1%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yes, and you'll notice it happens from time to time. If you go down in those key balance sheet items in that bottom third above the notes, if you look in February, the February was 3.2 million, mm-hmm. and it dropped to 2.2 million. That's a normal decline. What happens from time to time, two or three times a year, based on timing, the county will give us, proper term, they give us. we receive from the county.
They give us back.
Our sales tax and right. property tax allocation a few days earlier. So it's received in the in the month prior to the month it's actually earned, in theory. So in February, we received March's allocation a little bit early. So you see it more normalized in March, where we're carrying about a $3.2 million average balance, about a $2.2 million average balance. Our target is $2 million reserve, so right now we have excess 282 above our reserves. So just want to explain that drop in from February to March in cash. So now.
Remarkable.
Good.
Nicely done. Yeah. Okay, we'll move over to the draft 14-15 budget.
You all got my email, the unfortunate timing of the, so it's already posted.
Yeah.
It's already posted.
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, there can't be changes.
No.
Right.
But
it's all good.
Just it's the way I had to do it in order to comply with the bylaws.
Right, so our budget discussion for the board will be next Monday.
Yes. Yes. So now, if you've got comments, I haven't finalized the report, this report that
right.
you're looking at. There is one posted for the public, but mm-hmm. I haven't finalized the one for the board packet.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's changes you want to see made, I will incorporate them probably as an addendum or something so that no one can say...
Right, that we were... Right.
Yeah, like but that. Your comments can be certainly conveyed to the board officially rather than just... comments that you make at the meeting, which are official too. But. So that whole first part is really just explaining this whole thing so that, I mean, technically the bylaws state that the budget hearing has to be held the last week of May.
Which we don't meet.
So if somebody complains, there's really no recourse, but if the board wants to have a meeting, then I have set May 29th as a possible date mm-hmm. to have that.
Didn't this happen last year and it wasn't no problem, right? It doesn't happen every
year.
Well,
we just kind of...
If the last
we haven't really read the bylaws. We haven't really paid much attention to it.
More attention this year.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's just been the practice... Well, actually, the first time I went to a budget hearing, it wasn't the last week of May. I wasn't even hired yet. I mean, I was coming on, but I was on my way through. So anyway... So I'll go into a little more detail in the final one for June in terms of looking at what we've spent this year and what we're going to do next year. But basically, establish priorities for this coming year, which will be whatever's coming at us with the implementation of new agreements, if there's a ballot initiative, and then I really want, our work plan really needs to focus on improving the customer experience in light of all the changes we've been making. Plan to bring back interlibrary loan, complete various computer projects, and focus staff training on the customer experience. We're also doing some rearranging of staff workspaces for greater efficiency. It's at a minimal cost, and it's just trying to, the tech services workflow is very bizarre, so they're actually going to move over here, and the reference staff is going to move over to headquarters. So there's some few minor things that have to happen. Revenues.
Can you just talk a little bit about, at some point, how the discussions are going, but not necessarily right now, the new governance model. But in terms of the customer experience, what sorts of things are you thinking?
We're still working on it. There's one of the things we will be doing in June is going to a consolidated service desk on the first floor here downtown. And so that will be staffed by both circulation and reference staff.
That's been in the plans for some time.
Been in the plans for quite a while. And we're going to do it with very little expenditure of money. We're buying, I think really the major thing we're buying is two adjustable tables because we're not going to invest in a whole new service desk.
Mm-hmm.
If things change and we get a new service desk, we can always use adjustable tables somewhere. Otherwise, we're going to reuse some other things we've got. It's also going to enable us to, we'll basically take out the circulation desk as it is now, and that's where the self-check units, new self-check units will go. So as part of that, there's certain aspects of kind of this new model that we have never implemented, and that's the roving, where you've got somebody who's not, and that hasn't happened because of, a lot of it's because of our physical structure layout here. So we're really, what we're going to be working with staff on, and we haven't quite laid out how we're going to do it yet, so this is still a work in progress, is to try to get us to be focusing on, the focus has been on, you know, what service do we provide to you? But we want to look at it from a customer's perspective, and what experience are they having when they're coming in? What are the barriers for people coming in? What's making it hard for them to use the library? We know that charging stations, we just put in charging stations downtown here somewhere. They're they gorilla glued them to the wall because there's no other way to secure them. So we know that that's an issue for people. So we're going to try to be looking at that. I know that there's a team looking at it in terms of collection. I was at one branch, it was Aptos, and they were showing me how they didn't like the way, in the children's room, they didn't like the way things were laid out, and they wanted to move some collections around. From the point of view of who's using the collection, who's accessing it, and we've kind of had a cookie-cutter approach here. Everybody does the same thing everywhere. We just stuff things in, and we want to try to get, like, the book discussion kits. They're sitting on a shelf over headquarters. We want to kind of get those out into the branches, but we've got to find space for it. So how to make the collections more appealing.
And so if this question comes up, it's important to mention, I think, what you're going to do downtown, but also how what's going to happen in all the other branches.
Many of the other branches are doing the consolidated service desk already, and they have been. But we're also looking at that as from an individual staff perspective. Our staff day will probably focus on this. So it's for all staff to be seeing things in terms of how does the public see it.
So how are you getting the public input on that? I'm just curious.
We're, like I said, we're in the design stage.
Yeah, it's so hard to think outside the box. I mean, to see it from the other side when you're so close to it.
There's some low-hanging fruit that we can see. Yeah. We're just in the design stage on it. I don't see it particularly having a budget impact, but in terms of work plan, what we're doing, it's the desk all feeds into it, the change in the desk. And,
so that was a question I had in terms of the work plan was, did we still need to have adjustments to the revised service model in there? And it sounds like this rearrangement is kind of the last stage of that.
Well, we, for in terms of we'd actually be looking, we made some changes in, these are the service model adjustments we're making this year, recommending for 14-15. I can't say there won't be others in 15-16 because we continue to look at things. We think this is the bulk of it. Now we are going to look at information technology, they may be, we're giving them one person, that might be enough to make the difference. So, yeah, these are the model adjustments that I gave you in February.
I was just thinking, like you said, not just so much the expenditures, which is what you're spending your time on, too. But it sounds, if that doesn't have to be in there, that's fine. I just was wondering if that might reinforce our case on the facilities, just to say, yes, we are now realizing that plan that was adopted, a few years ago. It sounds like it's, aside from that, we dealt with the self-checkout, and putting in the roving staff will be kind of the last major part of that new service model, is that correct?
Centralizing reference, I think, has a lot to do with it, too.
We centralized reference, and we're having some problems.
Down.
So that's what we're trying.
Right, that was
By consolidating the service desk, we believe we're going to free up some staff time. We've identified some issues right now. We've got 5 different people going out to Live Oak, one person each day. We've got four people going to Scotts Valley, four different people going to Aptos. We're not sure that's best in terms of the service, you know, that maybe we should have at the most two. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, 6 days a week. So that's kind of, they'd still be centralized, I mean, but some tweaking of how the model is playing out, because we're having some issues with how the reference staff integrates with the staff in the branches because they're so rarely there.
And we anticipated that.
Right.
That there would be tweaking.
So that's all part of the customer experience, mm-hmm. too, is
okay.
to look at all of that. It's kind of,
right
so now it's
kind
of a jumble.
That's kind of the place to park that issue, the modifications to the service model are in the customer experience, really.
Yeah, they really are. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's important to, you know, it's not really mentioned in this part.
No.
That, I mean, I think it's always good, that's the
okay.
touchstone,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that we keep saying, you know,
mm-hmm.
doing. Because it is,
it's
and it was in your, it was really well laid out
in the
package you gave us for the February meeting, and you say here that you're going to do some work.
It'll be more detailed
yeah.
in the June
yeah.
one, but yeah.
But some
I can,
of it's
yeah.
not expenditures, it's the work.
Okay, I'll,
yeah.
I can tweak that a little bit. Mm-hmm. So Marcus says we're going to have lots of money.
Yay.
And so I flagged that. So obviously there are going to be certain people are going to say, so increased hours.
I can name at least one.
Well, the problem with that.
I'm just raising
yeah.
the
I
issue.
I know. And it should be.
And that's a discussion we had in February. Increasing hours is structural. It's committing to that, you know, that money. My recommendation is that right now we focus on these service model adjustments in order to make what's not working work right before we go expand anything else. Because these are basically structural obligations we're taking on here, about you know, an additional $186,000.
Mm-hmm.
The hours issue, it's one piece of the whole picture of the service model. And as we're facing these new facilities or changes in facilities, let's just say we get the money. I'm just hoping to hear from Jean Bregman today, but
mm-hmm.
I haven't.
You mean the money for the
poll? Yeah, the
poll
was this weekend. Anyway, so we get the money, we get the $63 million, and we embark on all these facility changes. That's going to be huge in terms of how facilities are used. To me, that's the time to then evaluate hours based on once these new facilities are in place, then how are people using them? Now, we may want to do some known increases to a certain extent for, say, Capitola and Felton because of you know, drastic changes in those facilities. Felton is impossible to predict. I mean, I can predict what's going to happen in Capitola. They're going to be probably 2 to 3 times busier for the first 6 months. Then it's going to taper off, and they'll probably be
1.5
times where they are
now. That's my guess.
I can't make that prediction for Felton because the change is too huge. To go from a 1,200 square foot building, which is wild quaint, is totally inadequate in terms of...
And now famous.
Yeah, and now famous. Totally inadequate in terms of condition.
Certainly.
And size. And to go to something on the magnitude of a 9,000 square foot building, you know, well, even if it's used triple, that wouldn't be... its use is probably going to go 10 times.
Yeah. We'll see.
Right away. But it's probably going to ratchet back at some point. But I don't know what it is. And so I think until we have a better sense to make permanent, because keep changing hours on
I
totally
agree.
I
totally
agree.
I only raised
the I know. Point.
I think that what you presented here is a very conservative and modest approach to the next fiscal. this coming fiscal year, that addresses, that gets at, positions us more along the lines of the service model, which we're still, it's only still just, we're in our third year, yeah. coming into our third year.
Mm-hmm. Well, allow me to be a little, only slightly more political than I usually am, mm-hmm. and that is, I understand the science of the library that's shown here, and I agree with your approach. You're cautious, methodical, it's very well done, but the 99 percentile looks at the performance of the library against how many hours were open. Oh. They draw the line and stop thinking after that point. And I'm trying to move forward an idea for the majority of the electorate, and the majority of the electorate does not look at the science of methodology. They look at, well, are we any closer to the our old hours? Not that we'll ever be there or we should be there, but I think that it would, we'd do well to visit, and I liked the way you laid it out last time. You had a very careful, you know, chart, and I think that should be part of the budget consideration. Say, well, maybe we want to only increase hours, 5 hours a branch. I don't know, just some number, because the bold print is going to say, you know, changes in the structure, moving towards the model, and a slight increase in hours. That's going to be the message. I fear.
A slight increase.
But I'm
maybe not. Maybe not correct in library land.
But I want to disagree, because I don't. I'm not so sure that that is the only. That is the main thing that the electorate looks at when they look at the library, because I've had people say to me that, you know, they had been so disappointed in the collection, you know, or they want more stuff online. They want more e-books. They want to be able to get, you know, we don't have enough of the e-books for me to check out. Or they want, you know, granted I wanted to start to say rainy day, lucky day collection has improved, but we're only doing that on a stopgap. I mean, year to year, we haven't made that permanent. Mm-hmm. And
we're going to continue it.
Yeah, well, of course we are, but my point is, I don't think necessarily that the building hours are the number one thing that people think about anymore.
It's the number one thing I hear of when I speak about the bond.
Okay. And, since I haven't had that
response.
And
people tend to tell you the only thing they're not seeing. So we can build a collection and we need to do that.
But those are the trade-offs.
If there's one thing that they're not seeing, that will rise to the surface. And we all know, these same people are probably the ones that would find the color of the carpeting wrong and our library system has failed.
And honestly, I think that's the role of us when we go out talking to people, that we say, but libraries today are not only open hours, they're blah, 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 blah.
Certainly.
There's all these
certainly.
Things. And you look at our, you know, the people that are using the online services.
I understand that, and I use that argument, and yet we tend to get bludgeoned by our, you know, misuse of the word promise back when we took on the model, which is we will get back to the holy grail of this whole new service model, which is our original hours. And we all knew full well that it was a goal, but it wasn't something that we were going to actually
92%.
Approach.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I know.
Well,
that.
And then there's also other opportunities that we may be able to explore with the new buildings, access, like you can get into the post office and, you know, where you have kiosks and you can pick up books. You can pick up your book that you can get, you know, like Redbox-like mm-hmm. kind of things that don't take people being there, but that everyone could get to. You know,
totally understand. It's worth a discussion at the board meeting.
It's interesting because
the
one thing I have not gotten, not even one complaint on, since we did this restructuring 2 years ago, is ours. Not one complaint.
Other than from Susan.
Because you haven't
from
asked,
the public.
You
from
haven't
the public.
Asked for $63 million yet. We haven't even started our campaign.
But
and that's just what I'm trying to brace myself for, and I want as many bullets.
That's why we have to have the talking points.
I want as many bullets in my.
I still get complaints. I still get complaints about interlibrary loan. Mm-hmm. It's been gone for 5 years.
Right. It's believe me.
I still get complaints.
No, the interlibrary loan is huge.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Sincerely.
Okay. So let's
big stuff.
And that is a talking point.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that the something I'm planning to do for probably for staff day is kind of take a retrospective look, and it might be something good for share with board members, obviously, where we were 5 years ago and where we are today.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. And not just in terms of hours, which have greatly improved, just with one piece of it, but the kinds of things that we're doing. I mean, the public loves us.
The programming.
The programming, the snapshot stories, the veterans' history, the community reads, the
sheet music,
the Tales to Tales program, the special needs collection up in Scotts Valley. The media wall in Scotts Valley, the digital signs at all the libraries, the meeting room,
stuff.
We're just the wait till you see the new self checks. The copiers that Porcure has been working on. And
the new self-checks, that's going to make a difference.
So there's a lot to focus on, and the hours discussion, I don't think needs to be dead, but I think it needs to be, we still need to fix the things that we cut too far.
No, I'm just saying it should be part of a budget discussion, and we may decide, let's march forward at 93%, just a thought.
Another question that I had, just in terms of the work plan priorities, let's say that we get agreement on all the things that so we can go forward with the ballot measure in 2015. As I recall, you said that we would have to start doing some planning so that we could hit the ground running. So that's staff time, that's brain intensive to start doing that. So I think that ought to be on there.
You've got the ballot initiative.
Ballot initiative. That's just doing what we
I didn't actually provide for it. Well, there is a kind of a placeholder in the budget, all the money we had left at the end.
Uh-huh.
That was all the money we had.
Right.
And that number could change a little bit because Kira's still
planning
some numbers.
But in terms of what you're asking your staff to do, we all know if you're planning
we're going to have
capital
to
project, someone's going to be planning, that's going to be your assignment.
And you said you were going to flesh these out a little more, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
but I will.
To give us the narrative that...
So maybe preliminary work on facilities planning or something like that.
And at least we should have an understanding, or the jurisdictions that will benefit by it need to embrace the fact that they will have to provide the majority of construction management. And, you know what I'm saying? It shouldn't be put in the library because we're handing Felton a large sum of money in Capitola and county, and we're going to have to say...
Felton is county.
Right. Well, Aptos. And there's going to have to be, like, the soups are going to have to jump in and do a little bit of legwork in the municipalities, and whatever Scotts Valley gets, they're going to have to implement theirs. I don't want it to turn into an enormous weight load on our staff.
We are still going to need a staff member, at least, to liaison with everyone.
Well, certainly, because we want them built properly.
Yes,
well,
we do.
And as from what you told us before, and following up on what Cynthia said, if we're going forward with the measure well before that, you have to be getting the actual construction, start doing
we
the...
We could start that.
So that we can
time.
Actually
That's part
start...
of our budget.
So
right.
that we can
in.
Actually
yes.
start...
We've
shoveled.
Going out to bid.
I mean,
right.
Felton's been using their Wayland money, and they've got a request in to actually get to construction documents for that phase. And I talked to the county and said, I don't want to bring this to the board until we're dealing with everybody else, too, because Capitola has needs, Aptos, downtown, of one major planning. Capitola has their redevelopment money they could use for that.
We already have preliminary drawings done. We're ready.
But aside from money, is there a staff person who has the time?
We will have to make the time.
As you're going into your 14-15
absolutely.
Budget.
Yes.
And then, for downtown, we have the Lead Corday Trust that we could tap for some of the work that needs to be done. Aptos, I don't have anything. Anyway, so there, it's. I didn't spell it out because it's so amorphous at this point. But yeah, we probably will need to a budget revision if we
succeed.
even before we succeed.
Yeah.
Once
yeah,
we decide what approach we want to take. But no one wants to, you don't want to put it out there right now that
no.
we're going to do all this planning work if we're not, you know, until that poll comes back.
And when we succeed in June of next year, we'll be into the next budget and be able to put that line on.
Because I recall bringing it in at the budget we described assumed getting going.
Yes. So actually, this, I think it's about, is it about 300,000? What did we end up, we kept changing the number
yeah,
on
it. Yeah, it was in other, other professional and technical, it's a little under 300,000.
Yeah, so like I said, it keeps changing.
I mean, you have,
that was
yeah,
money.
Yeah, it was 355,000 is what you
yeah,
did.
That was money to be used towards the, I mean, the election itself.
Yes.
Is going to be 500,000 to 700,000. And that's a question I get asked a lot, and actually have all stats going to come up at the staff meeting tomorrow. Why are we spending that kind of money on a special election? Why don't we just wait until November of 16? Because if we wait until November of 16, the escalation cost is now $6.3 million instead of, you know,
right.
now $6 million more, so this is, you know, makes sense.
And
but
it's
people
not
don't
free, even in November.
I can't see how that 6 month is going to make a 10
It's not 6 months, 18 months.
Yeah, 18 months, November 2016.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say between June and November is going to be hard to sell
no,
special over the
it's
regular.
It's 18 months.
No.
How
it's
so?
June 15 versus November
16.
16.
Yeah, the next general election.
A regular, I'm sorry. You're right.
And it's not quite 10%. It's actually, I mean, our estimate is more like 4.5%.
See, when we start,
that makes more sense.
When we start talking about things like this, then the whole concept of trying to do $300,000 or $400,000, which is what it would cost us to add hours, at this point, it makes it easy. Where could we even find that if we have to? If we're trying to do all these other places, is that
the argument being that if we're ready to spend $500,000 on a special election, why aren't we ready to spend $300,000 or more? Hours?
Because we don't have
one is structural, one is one time.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I speak
mm-hmm.
for.
I know. I'm. You know. We're playing devil's advocate.
But that's going to be
I'm
part
not.
Of the. That'll be part of the. That'll be part of the campaign, and you know.
Certainly, and we have to be ready for all the negative questions
mm-hmm.
because we'll get them all.
Oh yeah.
It's a tough time.
And they're all going to come from Capitol.
There'll be a couple around. Trust me. At other places.
So anyway, that's why this budget doesn't. I mean, and I may have misunderstood, but at the February hearing, I felt that the board was giving me direction to develop the budget without
mm-hmm.
adding
uh-huh.
out.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That was the direction we
yeah,
gave.
That is.
So that's what I did. Library materials, I made it kind of a permanent increase. When I actually did the percentage,
mm-hmm.
it came out closer to 11% than 9.5%.
So I had a question on this. This is not huge. These are just so I understand. And when I look at the actual budget,
mm-hmm.
Compared to, we're actually a little under what we were for this year. And is that because we added the extra, we added
the ILS? We had the ILS cost this past year.
That was under library materials?
Oh, I'm sorry, under library materials.
Yeah.
I
mean, I see grants and donations goes down, but even the regular materials goes down. And is that because this year, didn't we add, we added a special 100,000 in 13-14?
Yes. I mean,
yeah.
The label here is actually, that's what
was
the all day long. That's our estimated. It's not the adopted. That's really what we estimate to spend.
You mean
in
on
13-14?
In 13-14.
Yeah, and it does include the one-time bump.
That we bumped it up.
Correct.
And so, therefore,
if you look budget to budget, you see our increase.
Yeah, but I guess I raise this because if someone's actually looking at this, it's sort of illogical. This doesn't map necessarily to what you're saying.
But if you do the 1.4 million
mm-hmm.
as a percent of total expenses,
it's more than 10%.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah.
I was just, my question
so
was just that it went down from when it went down from this year to next year.
Oh, this year's budget's 1.2, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the total was 1.2.
Well, it was 1.2, but 100,000 of that was the extra money.
Yeah, we adopted it at 990.
We adopted, okay, we adopted
and then
it.
We added.
So this right. shouldn't be adopted, this should be.
Estimated actual.
Estimated actual.
Okay. Because we could do the same thing next year if we wanted to. We, you know, we probably won't because we have these other pressures, but we're trying to at least be at 9.5.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was catch up.
Yes.
It?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
right.
So yeah, the calculation. Yeah, I didn't look at the past year for it.
Right.
What,
well,
the
anyway, that I.
Well, and our other expenses went down. So the percent, if you're doing this percent of expenses,
uh-huh.
actually we do this percent of revenue.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still around, it's still over 10%.
And debt service.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It actually going up. I think it looks like 10.1% last year, and this year 10.8%. So take out grants
so
and donations.
So it's 10.8%. All right. I'll make
if
that,
you correct for the grants.
I'll make that clearer.
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious because it looked like we were actually spending.
It's the grants that are really
budgeting
coming in lower.
Right.
The friends haven't been giving us as much money.
Well, and the materials line was lower too, but then. I think I understand.
Okay. You want to increase it? I can. I mean, we've got comes out of that election fund.
No,
it's
no,
solid.
I'm okay.
It's
I mean,
it's very solid.
That's fine. I just was wondering if somebody else was to look at this and raise the question.
And I'll make sure the narrative reflects the actual percentage. It's just the chart the numbers kept moving up.
How close are we to the new bookmobile?
I think it's 15, 16.
Great. Since you mentioned the friends, I did just circle again a question. How did their revenues get paid out to us? When there's a
who wants to touch that one?
Small and marked bills?
Yeah.
Sure. That's a good question. I never
no,
thought of
there
it.
Was a,
no, it varies depending on what it is. If it's for the trust funds, that they have a couple of trust funds that they oversee.
And they refresh those with their?
They are, they're interest only. Well, one of them is interest only. And I'm sorry, I owe that to you this month, and I lost that note. So I'll have the trust fund document to you next meeting. I realized too late. I was supposed to give that to you. So there's a couple of trust funds that they have that endowments that are set up with the community foundation that we get whatever we're allocated, and we just ask them for that, and they give it to us. They get it from the community foundation,
and then that goes into this.
That goes into
the
grants
and donations.
The money that they get that gets donated to them when somebody signs up and says, "I want my money to go to books," they are tracking that monthly and giving us a monthly check. We've changed procedures a couple times, but we're getting a monthly check that we took in, $25 this month. Here's $25 to spend. And if there's any strings attached to it, they tell us what they are and we buy it. Some things they pay directly that don't actually even go through our budget.
Yeah, some of the programs.
Some of the programs they pay directly.
Right.
We don't even
right.
we never see it. They just pay the person directly. Sometimes we get reimbursed for something that we put a reimbursement request into them, and then we get it and it comes in. So like I said, it varies. That's why I was joking around. Depending what it is, it comes to us in different ways.
Well, that might be interesting at some point. When there's a little window of time, just to have a little report on what the friends raise in a year, how and where it goes, because they could at the every meeting they say, well, we have a sale or we have wine in the staff,
right?
But it doesn't give you.
Well, I think that it's always worth reminding people that the library can't really take money, and the friends is really. I mean, if someone wants to be a donor to the library. Then that's the way to go, and like you say, revisiting this occasionally with a little report that explains how they get the money and why it's important that they get the money and how it's used.
The last few years, they've been writing an annual report, which has been on my to-do list for 5 years. May happen someday, maybe. And I can find out if they're doing one this year, because that's a good way to summarize what they're doing. And,
absolutely. And, well, it's also a good way
see
to
if they're doing.
Remind people how they can give.
I know that they want to emphasize plan giving. I think they're
right.
Plan
and
they're
starting
giving,
to gear
yeah.
up plan giving. Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah. I'll talk to them about that. Okay. Any other questions? On
yes. And you know, I don't know if it's an organized effort, but it seems like there's been a rash of letters to the Sentinel against the formation of the
sure.
new.
Well, I don't look online.
Oh.
I don't
wish I could not look online.
Yeah.
It just, there seems to be a theme there, and I'm saying,
yeah.
how do we feel about it? How do we approach it? Should we say anything or do anything? Or
and it's against what?
Against the formation of the new board.
Oh,
seeing it as a, seeing it as, well, now they've taken all the public out.
Should we, that's not on the agenda.
That's not on the agenda.
So let's not discuss that right now, since it's not on the agenda.
I know. I just want to put that out there.
I also have to apologize, but I can prove to you that on the June agenda is already in play. Because you had asked for future agenda items, which I had space putting on here. It is now ready for June.
Good.
The trust funds are on here.
Okay.
So I can't lose my piece
but
of paper.
But I do appreciate, I remember seeing those, and there was just a fair amount of disinformation or incorrect.
Absolutely.
Which is
absolutely. But something we should maybe volley back to the county folks who are getting together. They need to come forward at some point. Let people know what they're doing behind the closed doors.
Oh, or not. I mean, I think just deal with the incorrect information. I can't remember. Did you make copies of those letters? Or
I'm sure they'll be in the packet.
But it's more of a lack of a message from them at all. Mm-hmm. It really looks like someone's in a smoke-filled background.
Mm-hmm.
Just icky. And that's what they're latching onto. So maybe something for the board.
I can't remember the details. But it so often happens. You read those letters.
Well, there will be another.
There's six inaccuracies. Let opinion out of it. Just factual inaccuracies.
Yeah.
There will be.
We never had that kind of problem in Capitola.
The board packet will have another report.
Great.
Similar to the last one, but with updated information on what we have a meeting Wednesday with the committee, so
mm-hmm.
Thursday morning I'll be finishing up the report for the board, as well as doing an update to the Capitola City Council next week. And Santa Cruz on the 13th.
And so it might be good when you do those updates to say you should think in your FY14-15 budgets what staff you're going to assign working on.
How will you get your library bill?
Yeah,
mm-hmm, exactly.
With the funds that will be available to you.
Right.
And that is really the responsibility of the municipalities.
So at Santa Cruz, actually, Martine's going to do the presentation. I'm just there for window dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Capitola, I don't know what Jamie and I are.
But I think in
we'll
all,
talk about that one.
In
have
all jurisdictions, they should, that's part of their work program.
Absolutely.
Coming here.
Absolutely.
So, any?
I just had a couple of very minor little things. Again, just if I was looking at this from the outside and. In the narrative, it says that the utilities, there's a 3.4% increase. But then when you look at the budget, it looks like from year to year it's gone down.
Gas has gone up.
No, but I mean the subtotal
the
utilities
yeah.
goes down. And then building and operations, it says that it's expected to increase by less than 1%, but then when you look at that, it's got this huge increase in the subtotal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's because you've got the
vehicle replacements.
No, the building equipment and rental, isn't that the election?
No, the election's down under
why
system
is that?
Services.
Why
I mean, I was just, it didn't seem like the narrative.
It's the payment on headquarters?
Mm-hmm.
That 24,
but
I think.
It says that's paid off.
Not the remodel, but the rent for that.
It just
building.
Said overall building operations.
So why electricity did go down by quite a bit?
But do you think really think gas is going to more than double?
There,
go ahead.
It's an apple and an orange. doesn't schedule our budget to budget. So the calculations of the estimates are saying last year's budget versus this year's budget, utilities are going to go up by 3%. But the actuals,
right,
what we're projecting versus the budget.
Right. So this is the right. That's right.
So
this is the estimated actuals, not the budget. Yes.
Okay.
So
would we be better off showing this as the 13-14 adopted rather than the estimated actuals?
It says it's adopted.
I know. But
he says it's
wrong.
Ah.
Estimated
okay.
Actuals.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes a difference.
Yeah.
I can tell you, water and sewer are going to go up.
Yeah.
Water is certainly up. Shouldn't be that big in the library,
well,
but the
anyway,
machinery.
I mean, I
actually
if,
I'm not a big water.
If other people are looking at the, just making the narrative so that it somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but so yeah, I mean, it doesn't. Even though the figures we were giving,
this, you know, budget to budget is usually, I mean, if you're going to do at least two comparables.
So
yes.
this should have been adopted rather than. So.
It's adjusted rather than adopted.
Okay, so we'll do this one. Oh, we'll pull that column instead of that column. Okay. So we'll change that to the adopted.
Yeah, now with that, that's not going to mess you up with the, I mean, we published this already. Well, you'll just it'll have to be an addendum then, right? Whatever. I just want to make sure.
I mean, you know what?
Where's the machinery, the 70,000 that wasn't budgeted last year that's there this year under O&M's?
We actually budgeted less this year for buildings.
So I'm seeing other machinery and equipment for $70,000 this coming year.
Oh, possible. We're buying vehicles.
It's a vehicle purchase that didn't happen last year.
Two.
Got it.
Two vehicles.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my.
But does that include taking money out of the vehicle? It should include taking money from the vehicle reserve to cover it.
But we added a
vehicle. We added a vehicle on top of an extra vehicle that we didn't think we were going to. One of them we'd been saving for.
What kind did we add?
Well, we're replacing.
We haven't decided, but we scheduled them on the Ford 150 vans.
The material transport.
Mm-hmm. No.
I'm questioning. I'm trying to back into the fact that one of the things that we want to do in the model is do more floating collection, and reduce the amount of transport.
Well, we only have one van. We dropped one van.
Oh, I thought we had two.
No, we dropped one.
Okay, so we're replacing one.
Replacing one because it's time. We have a vehicle replacement schedule.
And one we're replacing because we're putting it back into service and it was taken out at some point because we had no money.
Well, they're all in service now, but we had projected to take one out that we decided not to take one out.
Not the one that the programming staff is using.
Right.
And that's actually a tweak to the service model, one of the unintended consequences.
Of more programming.
Of the programming,
right.
Of having them centralized and going out and doing
right.
programming is
they
that they're traveling
there.
A lot
they
and they need... They don't all have, a good vehicle to,
right.
to do that with. And the vehicle they have is old, and it's not, it's the Focus, right? I'm trying to get my vehicles right. But it's, we're getting them one that they won't have to be bending. They'll be able to just,
like a transport.
Yeah, transport kind of thing. So that it's going to be better ergonomically, and this is one of the big complaints we're getting from programming, that
sure.
we're parting stuff all around. So that's the vehicle we hadn't intended to replace, that I asked to replace anyway. That's what I asked in February,
right.
was to replace that anyway. And the other one is a scheduled replacement.
Right.
And that's what we save the money for each year, for vehicle replacement. So this one will get added into that. So it's bearing the fruits of our putting money aside, even
mm-hmm.
in the depths
mm-hmm.
of despair.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it's supposed to be.
Are we up to future meeting dates? And should we set a meeting date aside?
And just let me ask,
I'm sorry.
System services is professional and technical, is that election stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
And I have to make sure that I think I talked about that.
Yes,
you
did.
You did, but I
yes.
wasn't on the page at
okay.
the time.
Yes,
yeah.
you did. It's on page 20.
Yeah, 23.
Mm-hmm. Get my report straight.
You did everything right.
That's
me, and I did give you comments.
It's okay. We forge forward anyway. So, the next meeting would be in 2 months on the 23rd.
Do we want to contemplate a meeting in May, just in case? I'm just thinking of budget considerations. And we may want to, but we don't have to schedule it yet. Follow what I'm saying? In between the meeting we may have to have at the end of May, and the meeting we will have next week, you know what I'm saying? If
you mean
we
us guys or the whole board?
Just us. If we determine we need another meeting at the end of May for the whole board, for the bylaws, or because of some budget wrangling, then perhaps we should consider maybe not today, consider us having a meeting in between those two.
You well, certainly can consider it. My guess is it's going to be nigh on impossible to find a date because I'm gone for a week.
Right.
I wouldn't anticipate that we'd need that because
I doubt it.
For this,
I'm just anticipating the worst case scenario of the budget meeting, the board meeting, to speak of the budget.
You mean that?
And that we'd be pressed into a special board meeting at the end of May.
Yeah.
For the budget.
And then you think that maybe we would need to meet before that, rather than just.
Why don't we wait and see what happens Monday night?
I wanted to voice that.
Let's see how it goes.
Budget time is either easier than you thought or harder than you thought, in my experience.
The budget does need to pass by 2/3.
Is that 6?
6. But I don't, I mean.
But we gave directions last time.
We did.
Correct.
Do you want to make any formal motion and recommendation to the board on this budget?
We should be prepared to speak on it because it will be a question that comes up.
Yeah, how did, what is it?
I'd like to move that we recommend this budget as presented with the clarifications that we've got.
Right, and I would second that.
Very good. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous.
I'm going to call the late statement two statements. They don't affect the motion.
We just finished. We just voted already.
Can you
reconsider?
You're
done.
It happened.
I think that's important.
We expect that the circumstances will be favorable again to prepaid CalPERS.
Oh, yes.
It doesn't require budget authority because we're just, instead of paying it incrementally through the year, we pay it all up front, first payroll of the year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're within the same budget authority grant. But I just wanted to make sure you're aware of it.
Right. Is that built into the expenditures?
It would be a cash flow. Actually, we get a benefit from
it. Yeah, there's a savings 5% from it.
But it's, we have to run the scenarios to make sure they're favorable. And
right.
It should be.
Okay,
again.
That the cash flow would work.
Yeah.
I would think so.
It's less of a cash flow, more of will we get the value of the benefit from numbers sometimes.
Because we won't make much interest.
But I just wanted to at least comment
okay.
on that. We did that last year. It worked out well for us. I just think
Teresa, could you tell us, now that we voted to recommend this, the notations that we gave you, what notations we gave you?
Clarifications.
The clarifications.
It was mainly the
scenarios. Change that to adopted budget
right.
rather than revised estimates. To double check to make sure the percentages that I talk about are the percentages that are reflected
right.
in the budget. And a few tweaks in the work plan priorities, perhaps, to talk about service model.
The narrative on the materials budget and how the grant takes into account the grant funding.
I can do that.
But just,
sure.
As Martha said, anything that looks like we're spending less on something that we say we spend more on.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That's it.
Uh-huh.
That's good.
Great.
Thank you.
You can be stirred.
Have fun driving home.